June 16, 2019, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro Show, Brother Matt.
Ahoy.
Happy Blooms Day.
Yes, happy Blooms Day, Father's Day,
Raymond's
Sunday, Peter. Raymond's birthday.
Right.
There you go.
1 year ago, whoa, you heard a voice.
Yeah.
That's our guest, Brother Matt.
Yeah. Welcome.
Engineering wonders in Estonia with their Skype software. Before it was Skype by the shite. We got Peter Prescott, Providence, Rhode Island.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome aboard, Peter.
Thank you, sir.
And we start off the show with John Coltrane with Thelonious Monk doing, well, I guess the tape ran out. I wonder how they tape gigs.
Trippy.
Because, right, there's no cassette yet.
Reel to reel.
Yeah. You go and you sneak in, you reel to reel, or maybe they got the Mission Impossible little tiny reel to reel.
Either, Mike.
So anyway, Pistrophe, and then we got something from your Mini Beast album, Tales of Woa, Part 1. So anyway, Brother Matt, we got our June gloom full effect here.
Yeah, full on.
Right? People who aren't getting old. From SoCal, they come here and like, where's all the sun?
It's getting old.
So we say wait for noon, right? It burns off and shit, but the mornings, it trips them out. Now, people, it's called marine layer because we got ocean next to mountains, okay? So you got this cold air, warm air thing at, what's it called? Collusion? Some kind of collusion?
Weather collide.
Some kind of collide?
So we get the May gray followed by the June gloom.
That's right. You know it. Waiting for the fucking way high July. And by the way, I just got an invite for fucking Vince Gilby here.
Oh, yeah. 4th of July with Vince. Vince got the coolest spot in town. Yeah.
It's over for the 4th, right?
Yeah, very cool.
Right. A few blocks from
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, just a block down.
I guess they added that thing to the
he's
old
park.
He's
got that sweet place, man.
Right?
That's
they
a great place.
That thing to the,
and he's a good dude, too. He deserves a great spot.
Right. Anyway, let's get to Peter, our guest. Now, we had your bandmate, Roger, on last week. And I found out through him, you, the guy who actually answered the ad, because he had a connect with Clint going back to another band. But we'll get to that later. I want to go way beyond that. I want to get all like, who's the fucking dude? Morley? When fucking Scrooge pounds on the hatch and his face is on the knocker. Okay, I want to get all Morley on your ass here. What's your earliest musical recollection?
Marley.
Right. Earliest musical recollection.
God, it's so boring, you know, but it's got to be the Beatles, you know. I was watching Ed Sullivan, I saw the Beatles. Okay. And I think that was a formative moment because I realized the thing about rock music that was fascinating me is the interaction between people playing in a band, how the guitar went with the drums, how the bass went with the vocal. That was what fascinated me and really still does.
Can I interject here one trippy Ed Sullivan bass drum moment that always weirded my ass out? Because when I met D. Boone, his ma put me on bass, right? I didn't even fucking know what a bass was, okay? But anyway, it looked like a guitar.
Right.
With four strings. Anyway, there's this song called My Generation.
I've heard it.
Yeah. There's a bass solo.
Yeah.
But Ed Sullivan's cameramen don't know. Put the camera on Mr. Antwist. They got it on Pete. Pete's like, you know, what? And then I guess Keith went and put a bunch of powder or gunpowder or some shit, explosive.
So that's fucked up Pete's ears.
That's
huh?
right, yeah. Brother Matt. That boom was so boom. And pieces of cymbal, I think, went in his hand and shit. But what tripped me out was like the... It wasn't just me who didn't know what the fucking bass was. The cameraman didn't either, because that was like a guitar solo. That was okay. So it's the Beatles.
That's the thing. The vocalist was the face of the group, so everybody focused on the vocalist. But I was fascinated by the fact that there's four people there, and they come together to make this one sound. That's the message I got from that.
Yeah. Where was this at when you saw the Beatles? Well, it was in your parents' pad, probably, but where was that?
I sure was, yeah.
But where was that?
That was in Wareham, Massachusetts, which is almost Cape Cod.
Okay. Place I ain't been to. One time I got to get an invite from John Waters, right?
Right.
What's
right.
it called? Providence.
Providence Town.
Providence Town, right. Yes. That's different than the P town you're living in. You're from the old Whaler, Nantucket.
Right.
I remember George Hurley, whenever we saw Pawtucket on tour, George always, yep, Paw fucked it, Ma sucked it. Every fucking time. Like, George, you could not get tired of that chew toy. Were your parents, was there music in the pad besides Ed Sullivan's show?
You know, supposedly you learn everything from your parents, but my parents were fine, but they weren't very into music. I think the only thing my mom did was force me to take piano lessons, which kind of put me off being a musician rather than got me into it.
Was there a piano in your pad?
There was.
Did she play?
Yeah, it's like I had some. You know, instruction force fed into my skull, but that wasn't what I wanted to do.
How old were you?
I don't know, probably 10, 12.
Okay. Now, did she play piano?
No, she did not. She just wanted to force me to.
Now, why was one in the past? Oh, it was for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So they were more like listeners. They had some records and a radio and stuff.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Let's put it this way: I had to find that stuff outside of my home.
Okay. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
You know, I hate to say it. I think the only instrument I played in school was the clarinet.
Dude, that's what I tried to play. They kicked me out after 10 weeks. But I tried the licorice stick.
Play.
Mr. Looney said, why don't you try hard, but
yeah.
Why don't you do yourself a favor, me a favor, and they looked at the whole class, all of us a favor. Yeah, so I never took music again in school. I was fucking seventh grade, too. I went to the school of D. Boone music. So, the Oyster Cult records.
Yes.
How did your clarinet adventure go?
What's that?
How did your clarinet in school adventure go?
You know, I think not very well. I mean, I guess I played it okay, but I think eventually why I ended up like hitting stuff, i.e. drumming, was because it just felt more organic to me. I don't have a real organized musical mind. Let's be nice about it and say that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This ain't about your mind. This is about your journey. And you know what I mean? It's good enough. And there's lots of roads to get us to where we are now. So I'm curious about yours. And I know the listeners know there's more than one way than behind the music VH1 bullshit. So this is an antidote to that kind of fucking jive shit.
Let's hope so.
Okay. So how did you get on the drums?
I think, you know, after I tried those instruments and, you know, I wanted to play guitar because that was the cool instrument, but I just didn't feel it. And my dad bought me a set of crappy drums, and then I was like...
How old?
Maybe 13, 14.
So this is 3 or 4 years past the piano nightmare.
Correct.
I mean, look, let's get straight, because we've had a lot of people have nightmares with piano as youth. And a lot of it seems depends on the fucking teacher. Mm.
You know, my teacher was fine, but you know what piano lessons are. It's kind of a safe little avenue to sort of have some fun rather than any kind of a musical career for most people. And I suppose all those things were steps in the direction I wanted to go. I would only say the primitive quality of hitting something appealed to me the most.
Sure. And it's called beat music. But I will say, even though everybody thinks of guitar, rock and roll is actually a piano instrument. That's where it started, Little Richard.
It's a percussive world, baby.
Yep, Jerry Lee Lewis. They weren't fucking slinging guitars.
And
in fact,
true.
There's a real important guy playing drums for Little Richard. Earl Palmer, he invents the fucking, you know, not using the kick drum for just bombs and, you know.
Yeah. I know Palmer is, yep.
Earl Palmer, incredible cat. Just passed away in New Orleans for a long time, but he lived here. He did a lot of work here.
Actually, I got a record by him called Drumsville.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we got to thank your pop, though. But you asked him, right? You put the thought in his head.
I did, yeah.
Look, I want to play Tales of Woe Part 2. Thank you.
Thank you. zigzag unfettered from body to body.
Watch for Pedro Show. Yeah, Peter and his mini beast doing Tales of Loa, part two. It's funny, too. It's Tales. Like with a high. Right? It's not like a story. It's like a fucking appendage, right? What's it called? Coccyx? We have a little one, right? You fall and break it. It's fucked.
Yeah, you
right?
don't feel so little then.
You don't feel so little. And then Thick Blanket from the Healers, the JV nonlinear guitar version out of Illinois. High Tides of Sunwear. They got a brand new album out. Mr. Thomas enlightened me to that. If so, so what? With the big frustration. I can't remember where they're from. Wharton Tears and Sub. I know that's Manhattan. I got to play with Bob Quine. Recorded at his place. With the Rinaldo. Klaus Burst. Not Cloud, but Klaus.
Burst.
Klaus Nomi. I don't know. And Nervous Gender after that, Babyface live on the radio. I think it was Richard Meltzer's show, Hip Cats from Hell, way back in the late 70s. Babyface, right? If you're doing wrestling, you're either a heel or a babyface, right?
That's correct.
John Morocco came in as Babyface, went out of heel. Maybe that's the way it goes. Nesthetics. That's Joe Lally's living back in the U.S., and he's got a band with Brendan from Fugazi. And Your Own World. Rep Party, brand new from Chicago. Welcome to the Catastrophe. And finally, Mini Beast with Your Exact Location. I love when they want to know that shit, right? They ask you on these devices.
Yeah.
No, I don't want you to know that.
You need to
okay,
know that
getting
for.
Back to your... So your pop gets you a drum set, and you said it was a shitty one. Why was it a shitty one?
You know, it wasn't a shitty one. It was a beginner one.
Okay.
But,
I mean, when I was thinking, I'm thinking of the urinals, and Kevin told me his drum set had paper heads. Maybe it was for little kids.
I was beyond that. I mean, mine was real enough. Real enough that I actually started playing with people shortly after that.
Whoa. Really? Now, what do you mean? Like garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
Garage band, Led Zeppelin covers, Black Sabbath covers.
Ah, okay. So you're copying songs off records. Oh, so exactly. you're listening to Bill Ward. You're listening to John Bonham.
You bet.
Okay. Because I always wondered what your influences were. Wow. Okay.
Well, you know, it was the sort of it was the rock of the day, which was probably 72, 73 in that area.
Yes.
But I think I always like the weirder, more fucked up cuts by Zeppelin or Black Sabbath or Blue Oyster Cult. So that kind of led me.
Well, I'll tell you, that drum line to Black Dog is pretty much out of time.
It's bizarre. I mean, it's as strange as anything. So, you know, all those bands that were sort of mainstream at the time had some pretty bizarre moments.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And we had, well, obviously there was dudes doing punk in the 60s like Stooges and Cap Beefheart, but we didn't call it that yet.
Well, also, I'll be honest, I didn't run into those things until at least the mid-70s.
Okay. Okay. Can you tell me about one of the first gigs you did in front of people on drums?
You're talking about back then in my childhood?
No, after you died, came back. Yeah, Peter.
Well, after I died, when I went to heaven, I actually played with Rocky Erickson a few minutes ago. The first one, I guess, in one of those cover bands, I'm going to tell you the names of these bands, and you know, this is about as much, as close as I want to get to exposing my past. One was called Plymouth Rock.
Yeah, okay? Of course.
The next one, which had some of the same people in it, was called Mordor. M-O-R-D-O-R.
Yeah, Tolkien.
So, you know, we were Stonehenge way back.
Well, if you're not going to write your own songs, you might as well spend all the creative energy on the band name. Right? That's the antidote.
Right.
I think Rocky told me that after I died. Went down.
There was none put into the...
What was his band? You know his band before the 13th floor elevator was called the Spades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might not fly today.
Yeah. Maybe the clubs. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, can you tell me about some of the first gig? Because I'm just curious. Like, was it scary? Did it go over good? Was it a nightmare?
You know, when I first started playing, I played with no shoes on.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Grant Hart,
I was just going to say.
So I did that for a while, and then there was one crucial show that I blew off because I wanted to go sailing with my girlfriend and her uncle, and so they kicked my ass out of that band.
Whoa.
And that taught me a great lesson. I had to decide, you know, it doesn't mean you can't have relationships with women, but you can't blow off shows.
Especially with you using significant other's Skype account right now.
Exactly. You catch my drift.
Yeah, you got to do the gigs. You know what I forgot to ask you? What was the first album you bought for yourself, first record?
Oddly enough, it was either the Kinks, Muswell Hillbillies, or Tommy. By the Who.
Whoa. And what was the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw... It was either Jethro Tull or David Bowie doing Ziggy.
Okay.
One of those.
Okay. I just had to ask them things. Okay. Between Mission of Burma and Plymouth Rock... What was happening for you musically?
What lies there?
Yeah. What was happening for you musically? And learning the big lesson about not missing gigs for sailing.
Well, okay, the first original band I was in was called the Molls. M-O-L-L-S.
Yeah, like a gangster's girlfriend.
Yeah, but I think they there was some sci-fi connotation to
it. Oh, Mordor.
But, you know, the Malls is probably the most put out a single, and it's probably the most collectible record that I'm connected to.
Whoa.
It actually was comped on the Killed by Death stuff, and they were a really, I saw them play when I started coming up to Boston to see shows. I saw them play with a band that Roger and Clint were in called Moving Parts.
Right. Roger talked about that last week.
Yep. And, the Models had a bassoon player who looked like Fidel Castro.
Of course.
I'm serious.
You know where you see bassoon players? You know how most churches have angels with harps? With the fucking Familia Sagrada, you know, in Barcelona. The angels are playing bassoons.
Really?
I wouldn't shit you. No, Peter, no.
Well,
I heard about bassoon and oboe, because you gotta like, that double reed thing, you gotta focus your breath. A lot of them cats, they get strokes, they get, things blow up in their brains.
Wow.
Well, that's gasket.
Yeah. Anyway, I like, Moving Parts had a bassoon player.
No, the Malls did.
Oh, Malls did, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Had a bassoon, put out, that one single, and then they kicked me out.
Shit, what was that for?
I think my playing had gotten to a point where it was pretty good in that band. I think they wanted to switch. They wanted someone else to play drums that they were friends with, that they were familiar with. I was sort of an outsider, and I was a few years younger. But when I was kicked out of that band, and I remembered seeing Moving Parts, I remembered Clint and Roger, and I knew that they had broken up, so I tracked those motherfuckers down.
Ah, that was bitching you did that.
I knew the way those guys played, I knew I wanted to play with them. Wow. And I found Clint, I think he was a bartender at a place in Cambridge, and, you know, I said, what are you guys doing? Are you trying to form something new? Do you need a drummer? And, so I tried out, and they put me through three tryouts before they finally said yes.
Whoa. Three strikes, you're in.
Yes.
Okay. We're at the end of the June 16, 2019 edition of Peter Show. Brother Matt, me, the special guest, Peter Prescott, hold tight for hour two. June 16, 2019, it's the second hour. The Watt from Peter Show.
Chant me some
Watch for Pedro show. Start the second hour with Handed. Manny B's Handed. This song title has started a whole big discussion here in Pedro. Thank you so much, Peter. They're in Providence for getting our fires lit.
Yes.
Then Hi-Fi Club out of Toulon, France with Low Lamp Poetry. You know about Low Lamp Poetry. Better than Interrogation Lamp Poetry. Joe Bison with Felix Gebhardt doing a duo. The Beginning, the End, and the Beginning. Kay out of Macedonia with Plavo Polnokno. Sorry. My Macedonian friends for fucking up your language. Minuteman with June 16th. I thought it was kind of
appropriate. That's today?
Yeah, that's it. And, yeah, somebody was asking, how do we know it's about today? Because it's an instrumental. I said, well, look at the fucking title. Anyway, some things are just too obvious. And then the Mini Beast with the Swearing from the... Now, you did a bunch of... people, listeners out there, a lot of you probably weren't in the era of Minuteman and Mission of Burma, but Mission of Burma toiled a lot in a circumstance that did not have alternative and all this crap. They had to sock it out and actually took a powder, and Peter went on to the Volcano Sons, which was an excellent band. Had many incarnations, got to share the stage many times with them. In fact, one of the bass men... Bob Weston saved the day when I was doing a live recording because the nut broke off my bass and I hired this a mobile unit. You know, it was $6,000. And with his Squire 2, with no knobs on it or something, shit, he saved the day. Thank you, Bob West. So, Volcano Sons was always interesting. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, you were a very big part of Mission of Burma, so even though you were at last... added on, and it took 3 tryouts. To me, you were a big part of that band, just as much as Roger and Clinton were.
Well, thanks.
But there was something about Volcano Sons that was really you. And I've always wanted to ask you about that. I've never had a chance to. I think the first time we played together was, do you remember Randy Hine? And his ma used to make chicken for us at the living room there in Providence?
We did play with the Minutemen there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I think he got ran over on his bicycle or something.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think he's terrible. Passed away.
Yeah, terrible, terrible. But, so I remember that verse. Some, Bob Weston, Bob Fay, I mean, there's been a lot of cats.
Yep.
And stuff, but it was always Peter Prescott's Volcano Sons in a way. It was kind of like another side of your musical persona. Tell me about that band.
I guess I started to write toward the tail end of Burma.
Yeah.
But I think when Burma stopped, I think my main I liked the general sort of hardcore inflected dissonant, you know, shout vocal kind of thing. Yeah. But I knew the difference. The difference that I wanted from Burma to the Sons, I would confess, is some sense of the absurd and humor. You know, just, because I feel playing music is a ridiculous thing, and that if you have to do it, you have to embrace the ridiculous. So I think that was sort of a core Volcano Sons idea that, what the hell are we doing up here? This is ridiculous, but it's, you know, it's a fun thing. So I think that was the main difference. Burma was a much more serious toned.
Yeah, I was
band.
Just going to say, not just, flit and tap it, but bear hug humor, right?
Yeah.
You guys, your songs are hilarious. But then there was an earnestness. You didn't. I mean, it wasn't a weird Al Yankovic band.
No. That's the interesting thing. I think everyone thinks that if you enjoy the absurdity in a situation, that you're a joke band. But that doesn't. I don't think that has to be so. I mean, Black Flag, Jesus Lizard, Fire Hose. I have laughed so hard at those shows because. There was just so much joy involved in it that it was funny to me.
Yeah, you know, when we, when I wrote a history lesson, I put, we were fucking corn dogs.
Yeah.
And, you know, it can be a verb, it can be an adjective.
Sure. Okay. I mean, the idea that is some kind of joy in...
Okay. I mean, I just always wanted to ask you about it.
I want to sample that sound. I want to sample that sound. That was a good one.
Because it's Sunday, and in Pedro, we call these devices on the motorcycles dick extenders. They also got some on cars. And you don't want to keep your dick extender a mystery, so you flaunt it. And Brother Matt living on the pleasure point here. And he's
it's like a parade. It's like a parade going by.
He's got the box office seat.
It must be a band called Dick Extender. Or there is now.
No, too serious. Too serious. Yeah. I think Sean Hannity makes money. Or the pills to make you think he got maybe.
Extender.
So, I mean, what did you get out of Volcano Sunday? I mean, you went to the mat many times, you know, remember those days? Tour after tour, you know. And
yeah, there was a lot of touring.
Right, right, right. And then, and also you were way into like every tour is going to have a record. You guys were like Huskers. You recorded all the fucking time. What do you think you learned all out of all that?
You know, I suppose because Burma didn't do that much touring, no. I suppose I learned every angle and every corner of being in an indie rock band in the 80s. I mean, that's what everybody did. That's what you did. That's what,
that's what I still do.
All the bands on Homestead, all the bands on SST, the bands on Touch and Go.
Right, right.
You know, and in fact, we were on all those labels.
Sure, sure. And in a lot of ways, it goes back to vaudeville. I mean, this, yeah, it was an old tradition. You're exactly right.
Right.
I'm still doing it. By the way, when you say 80s, I'm thinking of Michael Azerrad's book. What you think of? Can I ask you? I didn't ask Roger, but I should ask you.
What? Ask me what?
What did you think of that?
Of the book?
Well, you're part of it. Yeah. There's no wrong answer, okay?
Well, no, I love the book, but I love the, let's put it this way. It was the first time that someone had grouped together all these bands that really didn't have too much to do with each other and said, like, this was a movement, you know, that was so definable and each band had their own personality. But there was never a name given to it, you know, and they were never celebrated like I thought they should have been. I mean, the Butthole Surfers, the Minutemen, you know, everybody needed to be reminded of what those bands did, I thought, and I was glad it was there for that reason.
Yeah, yeah. I remember because it was around that alternative kind of foist, and like all this, what do you call it? Revisionism was like Sex Pistols to Nirvana, nothing in between.
Right. And it was important that we were the meat and the sandwich, I guess.
The baloney seat. We call it the baloney seat on the airplane.
There you go. The baloney.
Scotty told me that's what his ma said. Scotty, you're just the baloney. Ronnie, you know, Kathy, you're the baloney.
The baloney seat.
Yeah. You know, me and Larry just did a tribute for him that's going to come out for a record store. We missing rock action big time. But what you point out is very important, Peter. I'm glad you said it the way you did. Thank you so much. And now I'm also very grateful, Brother Matt, for bringing forth the spin cycle.
Very cool.
They call me Dr. Jones, known as the Night Tripper. Got my saddle of gris in my hand. Then we're tripping up and back down the bayou. I'm the last of the best. They call me the Greasy Man. got many clients, come from miles around, running down my prescription. I got medicine to cure all y'all's ills. I got remedies of every description. I got it now. If you got love trouble, you got a bad woman you can't control, I got just the thing for you. Something called controlling awesome get-together drops. If you work too hard and you need a little rest, try my Easy Life Rub or put some of my Boss Fix Jam in your breakfast. Try a little bit of call me Dr. John, known as a night tripper. A saddle of gris is in my hand. Then it tripping up, back down the body. You know I'm the last of the best. I'm known as a gris man. Devin. Wall water if your neighbors give you trouble, put your business in the street. Steal a juke in my whole car, they just won't be beat. Try my dragon's blood, my drawn powder, and my sacred sand. Never a little black cat oil if your woman got another man. Some goof or dust, last night, a ball stick, fine, I know it's you, not the palm of your hand. Dallas, you strange, oh, that thing. Put her on your woman's feet, and if she don't know that one, and that you're from love. No. Gree gumbo, yeah. Here now, boy.
know Mama loved me. I reckon that Dad thought I was a pretty good kid. I've been blamed, but I'm not ashamed of a couple of things I did.
Like what?
Well, Dave, I learned the golden rule before I started to school, like every good young'un should do. But what am I worth on God's great earth if I don't mean nothing to you? Well, what am I worth here on earth, darling, if I can't have you? You know, I just can't find no peace of mind in anything that I do. I don't know why you're making me cry. Honey, won't you give me a clue? Cause what am I worth on God's great earth if I don't mean nothing to you?
To be president, I'm sure I could do it for you. And they'd feature my face all over the place for all the good things that I do.
No doubt.
Like I might get my name in the Hall of Fame, or even in a book of who's who. But what am I worth on God's great earth if I don't mean nothing to you? Make me cry, honey, won't you?
horseback. I had to get to the bar. Just 1 minute, I lost track. And I was puking in the trunk of your car. Alcohol.
Matt, what made you do what you did to us just now with your spin cycles?
Well, it all started off because of we lost Dr. John, another one. It seemed like every week we got somebody dropping, so, man, he saw Dr. John a lot.
He lived hard.
Yeah, man, he was probably pretty amazing to get 77 years out of that life. Pretty amazing. Then I saw Dave Alvin the other day. He was doing the 25th anniversary of
The Grammy?
Yeah, for King of California. Okay. And so played some Sid Strauss, and she's our old pal, and that was a bitchin' tune.
She's up in Vermont.
Yeah, somewhere back there. And Meat Puppets, Seatbelt's going to be playing tonight at Godmother, so I got some Scott in there. And
Scott
McLean. Yeah. So there
Thank you
have
so
it.
Much, Brother Man. We're at the end of the second hour. June 16, 2019, this is what Peter Show special guest, Peter Prescott. Back with you, Peter.
Yo.
Type Hour 3. June 16, 2019, it's the third hour of the what Peter Show.
Thank you. There won't be any more Victory Parade. To celebrate death, destruction is a loss of innocence. The only winners are the prophets of the war machine.
Bob Pedro Show.
Challenged.
Yeah, we. Bob Pedro Show. We started the third hour off with Warm Gear from Mini Beast. National Debt with who I thought was Crane. Darkness at Noon. Then the actual Crane from Idaho. You depend. Victory Parades. Another Umbrella Shopping at the Mall. And finally, Yo Limbo from Mini Beast. Tell us about Mini Beast. How did this whole thing get started?
Okay. Toward the end of Burma's second life.
Oh, yeah. I should tell the listeners. After Volcano Sins, you guys, the Burma actually got back together. In fact, Second Men got to open up for Burma at the Fillmore in the city.
Oh, that was an amazing moment, man. We planned to do a couple shows, and it turned into 14 years. that's the shortest way to put it. But it was a blast to reconnect and make new music with those guys. I think toward the end of that run, I think, you know, we had done what we needed to do, and I think everybody was sort of thinking of another post-Burma life.
And what Roger was saying last week.
Yeah, I think we probably hung on a few years too long, but most of it was a pretty wonderful experience.
Yeah, I had a good time. In fact, the LA Theater here, I got to do Stooges 1970 with you.
Exactly, yeah. And you did that a lot more, too.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. So you're saying out of that, it really drove home this thing you wanted to get a project going that was Peter Prescott.
Well, you know, I wanted to make music that was probably a lot more instrumental, a lot more driven by the drums and the bass. Not like vocal guitar songs. I was just fucking sick of those, you know? I just felt I'd done it like most of my life, and yeah. I really wanted to find some good players that could do the drum and bass thing and allow me to be the gremlin that hopped around and acted like a buffoon. And so we went through a few different phases. It wasn't supposed to be a live band initially. It was just me putting out those solo records. Uh-huh. And when my gal pal Lisa and I moved to Providence, I ran into a whole new batch of people, so it sort of gave me a second wind, and I thought, like, maybe this would be a fun thing to you know, actually play outside with.
So Mini Beast actually happened before you moved to Providence?
Correct. The genesis of it, yeah.
Okay. But the guys you're playing with now, they're Providence guys, right?
Well, they're nearby. They don't live in Providence, but the band is based in Providence.
Okay. And how'd you find, and who'd you end up with? Finalized.
The drummer's name is Keith Seidel, S-E-I-D-E-L. The bass player is Niels LaWhite. The bass man joined us about 4 months ago. And the drummer came into the fold about 3 years ago. And the
why'd you want to stop drums?
I wanted to be like I said, I wanted to be the gremlin that sort of like hopped around and made the extra sounds.
You can't hop around sitting on a stool.
Well, I guess so. I've done that most of my
life. Or was it the Grant Hart, Dave Grohl? A lot of these guys, they, what do you say, graduate?
I guess.
From the drums.
I mean, it wasn't that I was completely sick of drumming, and to be honest, Mini Beast has always been driven by the drums.
Sure.
I just didn't want to be the guy to do that. I wanted someone better than me. And I actually found a couple guys that were better than me, and so it's been sort of a revelation to have the rhythm so prominent, but I don't have to worry about driving it.
Okay. Tell me what the first Mini Beast gig was like, since it was never meant to be a gig band.
Like most of the bands I've been in, the first gig that the band plays always sucks. I always go out and play before it's a finished thing.
Before you're ready.
I want it to grow up in public. So the first show Mini Beast played, I think, was opening for Burma. And we weren't very good. And it wasn't the fault of the other people. It was that, you know, I kind of sucked at it. But I think in the meantime, that was about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think in the meantime, I've gotten really good at it. But like I say, I like each band to grow up and fall down in public.
Sure, sure. I want to play the floor.
Thank you. outside, the winter wind is blowing cold, pervades the darkened room. Your state of mind tends to slump into a mess of hope and gloom. As you breathe, your heart is beating, fierce regrets arising. Waves, a call is made to perfect strangers, take from you your sad malaise. Random moments of familiar scenes, aroma, texture, sounds, such kind lips brush your ear. Lust and longing spin around, yet you sense an undermining, distant, haunting thrum of dread. Courage blows throughout you, darling, wild and tender tears you shed. Been with you all along, you just don't recall what you wanted many times along this path. Swept up in harsh confusion, shoved about by random wrath, and frequently you do wonder just what have you done with this singular rarity. Is it finished? Was it begun? Doubtless you have no sweet beauty, savoring all that you could. Springtime evenings in a garden, autumn walks in brilliant woods. Random moments of familiar scenes, aromas, textures, sounds, such kind lips brush your ear, desire and longing mix around. Tender and wise the view.
Thank you. got himself a pair of crusty leather pants. And he dug out a handful of records from back in the day. In fact, still nestled in the crevice of the gatefold of the Kim Fowley album Outrageous were pot seeds mutated from years of exposure to black light. And if you look really, really close, you could see laughing, happy little faces. But I'm beginning to stray. I digress. His real obsession, his deep, sad obsession, was with the Doors album Soft Parade. He was playing for weeks on end, barely eating, barely grooming. What can you say? Hey, hey,
supposed to be, yeah, what is a bass player?
I you know, but you can apply that to any musician, you know.
Absolutely.
Like what are they doing in this group at any given moment, you know? That role can change too. It doesn't
absolutely
have to be
absolutely
time.
I mean, yeah, you picked up on that. A lot of people thought it was some kind of a sexual thing.
Well, let's just say I can speak one.
All right. So now that you got the record out, is there going to be a Mini Beast tour?
We're going to try to put as much touring together as we can. We haven't started doing that yet, and the record's technically not out till September.
Okay.
And actually, there's two records here. We're putting out two records at once. They're both called Mini Beast Ism. But one is silver, one is gold. So they're two full-length records, not that many songs, but songs that go on for days.
Yeah. And where can people find out about you on the internet?
Minibeast.net. I got a Minibeast Facebook page.
Okay.
And, you know, we do want to get out and get to the rest of the country. We have toured a little bit. You know, we did a week with Pere Ubu last year, and I hope that we can get to the West Coast ASAP.
Yeah,
you know, we do
play with you. I know I'm going to get to play with you in October in Somerville.
Exactly.
So, people, that's Minibeast.net if you want to check out Peter's music with this new project, I big time recommend, because it's fucking bitching. And get out here. I would love to do some gigs with you too, Peter. Absolutely. Very trippy idea. So you recorded both albums at the same time, but you're releasing the material as two different records.
Yes.
And where'd you record it?
This is the thing. We liked everything we recorded. We mixed it all. And we in terms of just time, it was either going to have to be a double album or we would have to take some stuff away.
Yeah,
and,
sure, I understand.
You know, there ain't no rules in the music world right now, and we don't care, and we don't give a fuck anyway. So
that's good.
Basically, we said it doesn't make any sense, but we want to put out two records at the same time. One's going to be gold vinyl, one's going to be silver vinyl.
Where did you record it?
We recorded it at a wonderful little place in Lincoln, Rhode Island, called Distorted Forest.
Okay.
I highly recommend it.
Great sounds. Who's the cat there?
Jared Mann, M-A-N-N.
I highly recommend it. He did a great job. I love the fucking earthy sound of it. It's
good.
Very happening. And it's been such an honor to have you on, Peter. When Mini Beast gets ready for the triple album, please come on and talk about it again.
You bet I will.
Brother Matt, thank you for your always essential aiding in a bed. People, it's been the June 16th, 2019 edition of Wapping Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.